Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and our Paradigm Shifters are going to help you today because they're talking about relationship, and they really have been the broad spectrum of experience through personal relationship and many years of counseling and helping other people transform. So welcome, Barry and Joyce Vassell.
Thank you.
Heart people, right?
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you again. How are you doing?
Yeah, we're doing good.
Yeah, and you were just away doing a relationship seminar in where? Somewhere exotic.
Actually, we go in a couple of weeks.
To Germany, and then also we have an ongoing couples retreat in Norway.
Wonderful.
And then a retreat in Italy.
Wow. Now tell me, when you're going to these different places, is this, let me see, there's so much drama around relationships and relationships coming apart in our civilization these days. Is that consistent with different countries, different European countries, Asian countries?
Well, at least in those three countries that we go.
It is?
Yes, and we hear from people in England. I'd say, you know, it's probably pretty much in all of Europe. But I don't know about other countries.
Well, I could say that having a really intimate, committed, loving, fulfilling relationship is one of the really hardest things in life to accomplish.
Thank you for saying that.
And yet, one of the most important things to accomplish.
Well, isn't it true that many, many people, if not most people, really would love to have that? They dream about it. They ache for it. They try for it, you know, and so many fall off the wheel, right?
I'd say most people, but not all people. Some people have been so hurt that they really don't even want to think about being in a relationship.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Either hurt or just lost hope. Mm-hmm. That it's even possible for them.
Well, tell me this. Do you think that it's also a sign of our evolving society that the base nature of relationships has to change? What do you two teach about that?
Joyce, do you want to say something?
No, I think I'll let you handle that one.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what we're seeing. You know, somehow... relationship to really be in a great relationship, it requires vulnerability.
Hmm.
It requires that each person shows their need, their weakness, their fears, you know, rather than just presenting the strength and strong part and independent part. And that's actually what we're seeing a lot is couples who are trying to be too strong or too spiritual or too whatever. And so the vulnerability is missing. And without the vulnerability, without knowing each other's weaknesses and need for love and being able to ask for comforting, there can't be the real connection. So that's what we're seeing.
Do you think that's coming from a world that's so intensely marketed?
Perhaps. The pace of life is so fast, and you're right, it's very intense. So that very vulnerable, childlike part of us gets kind of thrown into a closet and ignored. And so... that's where we see relationships really breaking down.
And I used to tease people and say, well, if you have it all together, you can be assured that you're alone. Because it's kind of vibrationally like a cocoon, isn't it, that you present, you can't get through the facade.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourselves. You two have weathered some, obviously, you've been together for a long, long time. You've weathered some of these challenges. How have you managed, or do you want to share something about your journey together?
Well, the first challenge that we faced, which is not necessarily such a challenge in this modern world, but it was for us, we were raised on the East Coast and raised in very different ways. Barry was raised in a very traditional Jewish family and expected to marry someone that was Jewish. Not only expected, but that was his responsibility.
Remember, this was 46 years ago.
Well, that's a while ago. Congratulations.
Yeah, and on the East Coast, near New York.
Hmm. And now you're living on the ragged edge.
in a Protestant family, and I personally always assumed I would marry someone of my same religion. And so we actually fell in love very, very deeply before we even realized that we were different religions. And that was, we both felt that we could never be together. We couldn't see a way that it could possibly work. And we had no support. Our parents, really no one thought it could work.
Hmm.
And so that was a big, you know, we tried breaking up, we tried changing each other, and you know, the truth prevailed that we couldn't change each other and we couldn't break up. Mm. There was such a deep, deep love.
Oh.
And so we just took a giant, giant risk and we got married without anyone really believing that we could make it.
Wow.
And
what a nice challenge for a start. Talk about being vulnerable.
Yeah. yeah.
So were you scared, Joyce?
I think, you know, we were only 22 at the time.
Mm.
And, I mean, yes, I think part of both of us was scared, but there was such a deep love and such a deep yearning to be together that definitely was stronger than
mm-hmm.
the fear.
Let me add something. My mother set up a meeting with the rabbi who I grew up with, you know, who was very influential in my life all through my childhood. And in that meeting, my rabbi just tore into both of us. And just, it was so intense. It was abuse. And
oh,
we
wow.
left that meeting. You know, he said, you know, he told Joyce she has no right to be with me, and he told me it was my sacred duty as a Jew to carry on the Jewish religion, and he told Joyce she would never be one of us. You know, it was intense.
Oh my gosh!
Not true, even.
Wow.
But we left that meeting so shaken that we held each other and cried together. And it actually brought us closer together because it made us vulnerable.
Hmm.
And in our vulnerability, we needed each other's love, and that's the key.
Hmm.
That's what brought us together and held us deeper together.
Hmm.
So it's the adversity that actually can bring up more vulnerability, and it can bring up more connection.
I remember somebody saying, that's a beautiful story, actually. I remember somebody saying once, if you really don't know if you're going to get along, go on a whitewater rafting trip with your new date. And there's something similar, isn't there? It's like,
that's really funny.
And, you know, there's another reason we're laughing is because we go on whitewater rafting trips, just the two of us. We've actually done four whitewater rafting trips just this past year. And we go just the two of us alone. So it's really funny that you brought that up.
And then do you...
We love to do that.
I read one of your articles where, Joyce, you wrote it, where you were really worried that he wouldn't make it through this particular part, and you were waiting on the side of the river. Do you remember that article?
Yeah, it's a Blossom Bar on the Rogue River.
Mm-hmm.
And... a number of people have actually died not going through that particular rapid. It's not that hard to do, but you have to do it exactly right. And if you do it wrong in any way, you do run the risk of dying. And yes, it was very scary. And it, in, while I was waiting for Barry to go through it, we decided, because we had a dog with us, mm-hmm. that it would be easier for him to do it by himself and not worrying about me or our dog.
And it was my first time to actually guide a raft through. Usually we'd been with our kids, who are very great guys, and they've guided it. But this was just the two of us, so it was my first time through.
Oh, my.
And in that time, about 20 minutes waiting for Barry to actually come through to the other side, it allowed me to really get my priorities straight, what was most important to me in life. And I realized, because we've dreamed of trips and different books we want to write and different things that we want to do, and I realized the only thing that's really, really important is loving Barry, just loving. And when he came through, it was just the most grand celebration.
Everything fell away from our bucket list, you know, except for each other. That really all we want is to unite in our hearts and souls and know the deepest love that you can feel, you know, from the human love to the divine love.
Oh, that's such a wonderful story. Although my brain goes, I wouldn't have done it, Barry. I'd have been too scared. Sorry.
By the way, you know, I want to mention that, you know, all these stories are on our website, which is sharedheart.org, sharedheart.org.
And I also want to note that there's some amazing articles in there, and there's some really good stories. Your one about codependence, what is it? I tried to print it out, but it didn't come out right. It was codependence.
You know, before we did that, I wanted just to finish with the, because you asked us about hard things that we've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
3 years into our marriage, Barry had an affair.
Oh, my.
And that's probably the hardest thing that we've ever gone through. And I mention it because we work a lot with couples that where one of them has had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably is the hardest thing for two people to go through. But if anyone's listening and there is that element of, you know, you've just found out that your partner had an affair or something, it is possible to get through. It's not easy, but it is possible to get through. And the only way you can really get through is to establish a whole new relationship, a different relationship, a different way of being honest with each other and open and appreciative and grateful.
There's another question I have on that is, it must impact how people feel about themselves. Isn't there something about self-love that has to be brought up too? Because I was just thinking, some people are so insecure, frightened, you know. I don't know.
Well, the one who, the partner of the one who has had the affair,
mm-hmm.
goes through extreme insecurity.
I'll bet.
It's, you know, because if you were okay, why would your partner want to go and be with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another thing that has to be really, really addressed. But it is possible to work through an affair. And it is possible for there to be so much growth. And for the two of us, I look back upon it, and I mean, we were only 25, but in many ways, it was the beginning of a new, very healthy relationship.
Because you had to drop all of the what?
We did.
Pretenses.
We did.
Can I?
Wait, just one second, Barry. That one of the things, and is that because we were different religions, when we got married, we just kind of threw it out and decided just just to be together and that our love would be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's created a vacuum that really couldn't be filled in any other way. And we realized after this affair and we were trying to get back together that we had to have spirituality. We had to have we had to bring in these higher energies into our relationship. And we had learned long ago that I wasn't going to become Jewish and Barry wasn't going to become a Protestant person.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about finding spirituality beyond the established religions. And that led to this beautiful quest that has brought such a strength and stability into our relationship. And that might not have happened had it not been for the crisis of the affair. And then, Barry, you wanted to share, too?
Yeah, that was beautiful, Joyce. Mm-hmm. But I want to get back just to the affair because there's two things. One, what hurts often the most with affairs mm-hmm. is the secrecy. It's the lack of telling the truth. You know, it's secrecy that really kills. It destroys love.
Yes.
In our case, though, with the affair I had, it wasn't about secrecy because I was honest about what happened. But for me, I feel it's really important to share that the reason I stepped away from monogamy was because I was in denial that there was a little child inside of me that needed love. I was pretending to myself to be just an adult. And after having the affair and Joyce left the marriage and it looked like I was going to be alone, I went through such a deep transformation realizing that I was 25 years old, it was the first time in my life that I accepted the fact that I wasn't just a man. But there was a part of me that was like a scared little boy who needed love and needed Joyce's love. I was never able to admit that I needed her love.
Hmm.
And again, this gets back to the vulnerability.
Yes, it does.
Because for me to get to that place where I accepted the little boy who needs love, then I was vulnerable. And that's what allowed Joyce to be back with me.
Hmm.
And that allowed me to know that I was now fully committed to Joyce and there was no more risk for me to have an affair because I was in touch with that little boy that needed Joyce's love.
Aww.
As well as the strong man who could hold Joyce.
So isn't it sort of back to finding more of your whole self, of your real self?
There's no other way to live life.
Mm-hmm.
Finding your whole self, the strong man, the father part of you, the mother part of you, the child part of you, the soul, the spirit, everything, your heart, your mind, it's all in balance.
Well, Joyce, your inner child must have been weeping or freaking out too, eh?
Yes, a very... It was a very difficult time, and I actually left the relationship, and assumed that we would be getting a divorce. And we probably would have had it not been for this transformation in Barry.
Hmm. And you could see it and believe it.
And there was a transformation in Joyce too, which was very beautiful too. We both grew hugely.
But I don't, you know, it's not that it happened in a week
or
even a month. It took probably a good 2 years for me to really feel really safe and really trusting of Barry again. And that's another thing with affairs is it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And the partner that had the affair, usually that partner doesn't realize how deeply their actions are going to hurt their partner. And they also don't realize how long it'll take to really heal.
Because trust is the difficult thing to build, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you have a wonderful article on your website about this very subject, which speaks of what somebody saying he needed an affair because you had a really good analysis of it there as well. That he had
so many hundreds of articles on our website. I don't know which one you're talking
about. Well, it's about I needed to have a relation. I needed to have sex outside the marriage because I wasn't satisfied or something. But you have a really great analysis in there about it was really important for that person as well to get in touch with himself. Otherwise, it's still running away from the vulnerability all the time. Anyway, I just read that.
You've done your homework. You've been really reading our website.
I've been trying, but you have too much for the amount of time I have, which tells me I'll go back to it. But I know a lot of people are despairing about getting into relationships that last these days. Do you have anything to say about that? Because I know, like, what do you do in your workshops with people? How do you help them connect to the vulnerability or to their true nature or whatever?
Why don't you start, Perry?
Okay.
That's a simple question, huh?
Yeah. Well, in our workshops, that's really our specialty because it's about vulnerability. Mm. If we can allow people to touch their vulnerability and share it in a workshop, it opens so many doors. It opens a person. What we see in the workshops is whenever somebody becomes vulnerable, they become at the same time attractive. Not just attractive, but incredibly attractive. And more beautiful and more radiant and more vibrant and stronger. And this, we don't usually connect these dots between vulnerability and attractiveness. But in fact, that's what it's about. When you become vulnerable, if you're single and you want a partner and you allow yourself to be vulnerable, you are pulling that partner towards you in a very powerful way.
So that's kind of releasing those frequencies that make defensive meshing around us at times, eh?
It's taking down your armor.
Aha! Wow. So you take people on exercises and so on.
Yeah.
I started to mention earlier that there's one about conscious codependence.
Yeah.
That's a subject that I'm very interested in, and I'm sure the people listening are as well. It's a big deal these days.
Another way of saying conscious codependence is it's really interdependence. Mm-hmm. It's being aware that we need each other. It's just that awareness. When we're not aware of our need for each other, and I'll make it personal because that's what I struggled with in those first years of our marriage, I was unconscious of my need for Joyce. And so because I was unconscious, that need was still there. It came out in, you know, unhealthy ways. And that's codependence. It's when our need for love is not conscious, when we're not aware of it. When we're aware of our need for love, then it's a healthy thing.
Well, isn't need a kind of a dirty word when it comes to relationships?
Exactly. It was for me. But now it's a very sweet word.
Because you know how to use it. You knew how to transform the word, is that right?
Yeah. When I'm feeling right now how much I need Joyce's love, it's the sweetest feeling.
Aww.
And it makes me feel so much more strong and so much more of a man.
And it's not a clingy kind of feeling. It just really, really makes me happy. And when Barry expresses that, it's never with the feeling that I need to do anything for him. it's just like a feeling that's there within his heart. It's a good thing.
And let me make it even clearer, because it's really very spiritual. When I'm feeling my need for Joyce's love, it's not that I'm needing Joyce. It's my need for that spiritual love, the highest love that comes through Joyce, comes through everything. It's love with a big L. So that's really, that's the real need. It's the need for God. It's the need for spirit that comes through a person.
So do you teach spiritual development in your workshops as well?
We do. Mm-hmm. You know, not a specific path, because we have people that come to us from all different spiritual paths, from Native American, we have Hindu people, of course, Jewish, Christian, people that aren't on any path. And so it's just more broad, but we teach the importance of connecting to the higher presence of love, and bringing that into the relationship. And also, we have people pray together, and for some people, that's a very natural thing. Some people, it's just not their thing, and they learn that. But for most people, they really, really like it. And it's because it's such a beautiful thing to both speak a prayer and also to hear the prayer of your partner.
Did you study like Eastern philosophies as well?
We did. We took 2 years after Barry was through with medical school and his internship, and we traveled and we studied all the religions except Zoroastrianism. But and we immersed ourselves in those religions and in those meditations, and to really absorb the gems and what really, really worked for us. And that was a really, really beautiful thing. And what we were left with all that study and the different amazing teachers that we had was that there is such a beautiful presence of love that is there for all of us, and that we can draw upon as individuals and also as couples to enrich our relationship. We can draw upon this energy in our parenting, in our work. We can draw upon this great, great love.
So it's your shared heart. It makes me think of that term, shared heart. It's not just yours and Barry's. It's the great universal heart. Tell me about children, because I noticed, and we've talked already about the conscious dying process of your mother in that wonderful book, Mother's Final Gift. But all the way through anything I read of yours, it seems that both of you consciously experience and speak of the love, even with your children and with your work and so on. Have you had any, like, are your children doing what you do is what I'm really asking. Are they aware? How does that work with kids?
We have loved being parents. Okay. And we have 3 grown children now. Mm-hmm. And having the children is definitely the best thing that we did as a couple. We've done a lot of things with our work and written books and traveled but none of that compares to having these three children. And in their own way, they are doing very similar work. Our older daughter got her degree in clinical psychology, and she married a man who got his degree in clinical psychology. And our daughter, whose birthday is today, she's studying to be a nurse. And our son got his degree in psychology, and he's now working with hospice.
Oh, wow. And he's the one who, as a teenager, did some work with his dying grandmother, too.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was remarkable, I thought.
Yeah, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. Not the easiest one.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must have had some challenges. Most people raising kids do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's always challenges. I think one of the harder challenges was our first daughter, when she was 15, developed an illness that was never really diagnosed.
Hmm.
And she was very, very sick for almost 2 years. And she thought she might never get better. She actually thought she was dying.
Aww.
She was so sick. And that was a very big challenge for us.
Talk about experiencing your vulnerability, eh?
Yes, because we took her to different doctors and no one could diagnose her. Some of the medicines made her sicker. But it's not an easy path, but it's a very rewarding path.
And none of your children rebelled?
Oh, of course they did.
Like our kids, yeah.
We want you to talk about that, because everybody has to deal with some version of that, right? But it's a big compliment that all of your children are going into fields related to your work.
Yeah, but not the same. You know, they're living their own lives.
That's
really important to us. And you know, I want to say that for us, life is, I mean, the most important thing is spiritual growth. And relationship for us is a very beautiful path towards spiritual growth. Being parents, having children, also the same thing. You know, it's all about growing as a spiritual person.
And they haven't objected to that. They remained involved in that?
In their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not little Barry and Joyce's running around.
know, I just think it's wonderful when you can pass on some of the essence of a journey, and sometimes children won't accept that, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, we do things, we like to do things. For example, our idea of the most wonderful family gathering would involve taking turns appreciating each one.
Oh, my.
Having everybody else appreciate one person. You know, our kids, they kind of rolled their eyes when we bring that up. You know, that's like our thing. You know, it's not their thing. So we have to accept that. But in their own way, all three of those kids are deeply spiritual, and we just love that. You know, they may not want to do the same things we do, but they're doing their own things, and they're living their lives, and we love them and support them in that.
So how can you, now you're working with relationships, so I know you're working with relationships of all kinds, friendships, probably shopping with people or whatever, right, on all levels, and
yeah,
children.
Parents and children.
Yeah, and how can you give somebody, some people, some our listeners, some tips for how to maybe talk to children or talk to someone who happens to be in an adversarial situation with you or a rebellious situation or, you know.
Mm.
Do you have that kind of experience in your work?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay, I understood. And
okay.
Let me just say that yes, I mean, there's some people that you're in relationship with in your life that it's very difficult.
Yeah, and
maybe,
it gets resistant.
Maybe like with a boss or a coworker, or,
right, or a sibling.
A sibling.
Yeah.
You know, it can be very difficult. The most important thing is to feel inside, you know, this, not the outer personality, but the soul of the person that you're in relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
And that soul is wanting the same thing you're wanting, love, happiness, peace, joy. So that's number one. It's feeling that inside part of the person you're in a relationship with. The second, you know, is on the outside, any act of kindness or any word of kindness goes a long way. So giving any acknowledgement, really sincerely from the heart, to someone that you're in a difficult relationship with is going to really help, or offers the possibility of really helping.
And finding something to appreciate too, to really be very alert and watchful, and find even if it's the smallest thing, but it begins a very powerful momentum when appreciation is there.
So it's like moving into the world,
and also to thank a person if you notice that they're doing, you know, something to thank them, because people really need to be noticed.
Can I offer just
a
little example of that?
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago, actually, maybe one of our earliest clients here in Santa Cruz, California, where we live, maybe 30 years ago, was a couple who came to us specifically for us to help them divorce. They were convinced they were done. They had nothing in common. They weren't connected. And we sat with them, and we felt, before we help you get divorced, you need to turn to each other and thank each other for the good, for the gifts that you've received from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we had them appreciate and thank each other. And in that process, it opened their hearts. And that started a journey for them of appreciation. They're now pillars of their community.
And they're still together.
Oh, yes.
Wow. So what about karma? What about soul things? And what about people that are wounded? You know, maybe they've had a lot of abuse and they're defensive, or, you know, people soul to soul sometimes have issues to work out, which is we call karma, a thumbnail kind of label.
Well, one thing to realize is that all people have wounds.
Yes, that's true.
That's a great mistake in a relationship to label one of the two people as more wounded than the other.
Aha.
And that happens a lot, where one person will insist that their childhood was perfect, and that therefore the other person has all the problems because maybe there was abuse in their childhood. But all people have wounds, and the beautiful thing about being in a relationship is that two people can really help to heal those wounds by holding each other, by nurturing, by really listening, and also hearing the words that their partner most needed to hear when they were a child. Like for me, I'm a very sensitive person. Maybe highly sensitive would be the right way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents didn't understand that at all. They felt that something was wrong with me.
Toughen up, Joyce.
Like, pardon me?
Toughen up, Joyce.
Yes, that they felt like, yes, get over it. You need to get on with this. And so my whole childhood, I felt handicapped the way that someone might feel if they were blind or deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really heard, I mean, my parents were really good people and they loved me deeply. They just didn't understand this. They didn't understand sensitivity. They didn't understand someone that was feeling something in the room that no one else could feel. And so for Barry, in our relationship, what I really still hunger for are those words that my sensitivity is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way that he can really help me to heal from that particular wound that was mine in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And for Barry, there was physical abuse in his family, both with his mother and with his father. And so what he needs to hear from me is that I will never hurt him. I will never hurt his body. And even though I've never done that, I've never made an attempt to hurt him, he still, from time to time, just needs that comfort that mm-hmm. I will never strike out, I will never hurt him.
So that's kind of addressing the inner child in either case.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we don't grow out of that, do we? We need that off and on.
We do. We do. And everyone has those needs. There's certain words that they just didn't get as children. Some children never heard their parents tell them that they were proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Or that they loved them. Or
yes.
They were glad they were here or something of that ilk. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. So, and what's divine selfishness? Because I haven't read that article, but I love the title. Divine selfishness. And, you know, recently there's this fashionable line that says, it's not all about you. Well, and I sit inside and I go, well, yeah, it is, actually. There's that kind of core
so
centering that needs to be done. And it is all about ourselves.
Yeah.
Barry knowing that he needs that particular relationship with his inner child and the recognition of the vulnerability. It is all about Barry, isn't it, at that point?
You must have written that article, Barry.
I wrote that article.
And, well, about it.
But you know something? On the highest level, it's the self with a capital S. It's not just our personality. It's God within. It's the spirit within. It's our soul. And if we can be selfish enough to pay attention to that higher self, we're going to be happy
mm-hmm.
if we ignore that. So that's the divine selfishness. But then there's the, you know, the little selfishness, you know, the getting our own way all the time. You know, that is going to get in the way, of course, of relationship. And it's, you know, lately I've been seeing couples where that's almost a primary issue, where one person is too selfish and the other person not selfish enough.
Uh-huh.
And one person gets their way and the other person gives the other person their way. And that, of course, creates unhealthy relationship.
Well, I suspect that we need to all self-center in order to really respect ourselves enough to respect others. Is that not so?
Exactly. And again, it gets back to the higher selfishness.
Mm-hmm. But it's not that I only will be... I watch people make their lists about partners, ideal partners, and it does get a little bit narcissistic at times.
Yes.
That's kind of the fashion, too.
It's interesting, those lists, because I think our partner comes in a package that we might not even be able to imagine. I know that was true for me with Barry. He came, but you know, especially the religion thing was so important. And so if I would have made a list, that probably would have been on the number one.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here he is. He came in this package as a Jewish man.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, so that was like on the surface, on the outside. And I might have rejected it right away if I just was paying attention to my list. Do you understand?
I do. I'm sort of watching that going how back in those days that was really important too, a lot more than it is these days, isn't it?
Right. Right.
But yeah, that
but
was
we just don't know the package.
Yeah.
The particular package that our partner, this being that we're to love so deeply.
Do you feel that you two have been together in many lifetimes? Do you feel like that's a prerequisite for a synergistic or a deep loving relationship, growing relationship?
Oh, that's a really hard question to answer.
Well, can I say something?
Of course.
It's yes, I do believe that Joyce and I have been together before. But when we see single people who are wanting a life partner, who are really wanting a mate, what we encourage them to feel more than anything else, you know, rather than those lists, it's how much you already love this person. And so when you meet, it's not a new relationship. You recognize a connection that's eternally present.
Hmm.
You recognize a love from before. And so you're feeling, you're wanting to meet someone that you're already in love with. And if you feel that love, it helps bring that person and you together.
Well, that's wonderful. So when people are programming themselves, that's the thing to program.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
How much you already love the person. And you'll recognize that rather than starting from scratch.
So let's talk about betrayal again. Do you think that, let me see, people who meet, who are programmed to love, do come in, especially if they're a little bit older, they already have been betrayed, right? Which is supposed to be that great snake bite into the spiritual journey, isn't it? I mean, do you work a lot with people who have been betrayed, who are betraying?
Joyce, you want to say something?
No, I think I'll let you answer that.
Well, you know, it's not just betrayal. Again, we talked about this before, but it's the baggage, it's the pain, it's the fear.
That's what I'm thinking of, is the fear that people carry.
Yeah, we've all been hurt. And we've all hurt others. And so, yes, people, you know, it's gun-shy, right? You know, mm-hmm. about relationships. You know, we're really on the bottom line, I think the greatest fear is the fear of not being loved, the fear of being rejected or abandoned. So we carry that fear. And so when we're involved with somebody else, it's there. I mean, if we're not conscious of it, then we're going to act it out. You know, we're going to do something that sabotages a relationship because we're afraid of being rejected already.
Mm-hmm.
But if we know that, if we're just aware of it, I was working with a man yesterday. He's in Italy. I work with him over Skype. And, you know, he was getting close to a woman, and this fear of rejection
mm-hmm.
was so strong that he felt his heart close. He felt himself retreating to try and find a place that was safe.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, it backfires, because when you close your heart out of fear, you're just losing the love.
And if you keep yourself very protected, it protects you against sharing, doesn't it?
Yeah, you're protecting yourself from what you want the most.
I keep thinking that love is the greatest protection ultimately, but you have to walk through that to get there, don't you?
Yeah. You agree, Joyce?
Yes. Yes.
And let's see. Forgiveness is a really big deal for a lot of people these days. A lot of people are working on that. Do you have any advice for people about that? Not just about betrayal in love relationships, but just in life. There's an awful lot that comes up, isn't there?
Well, it's really important in a relationship when there's been disharmony, And, you know, two people have, you know, maybe been yelling at each other and they're just not getting along. It's really, really important to work out every fight completely so that there's no vestige, there's no lingering bad feelings. And a good barometer is if two people can look back on the disagreement and are able to smile about it or even laugh about it. And if they can't work it through completely, then seek outside help, seek professional help. Because so often couples will work it to the place where it's sort of okay and they can kind of sweep it under the rug. But that's not a good thing to do, because then the next time there's a disagreement, it'll be the current disagreement and it'll be the past disagreement will suddenly emerge out of the rug because it was never dealt with totally.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have hundreds of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be fighting about something, and pretty soon they're bringing in something that happened 5 or 6 years ago. And that makes a relationship very, very heavy, like carrying around a great big weight. You could imagine two people like Barry and I with 46 years, and we have a very passionate relationship, which means it's passionate in all levels. And when we don't agree on something sometimes, that full passion comes forth, and we say things and we can hurt each other. It's like two children kind of having a temper tantrum. And we need to look at all of those things and work it through to absolute completion. Usually we laugh at each other. We laugh at ourselves and each other, and then we know that it's done. And there have been two times in our relationship when we haven't been able to do that, and we've had to seek professional help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
I think that's really wonderful. Get some third party.
I know
that we have to let you go, but I just want to say one other thing about forgiveness is that, like people lose money, or they're betrayed in business, or their business partner absconds with the funds and so on. And it just seems like, well, you probably have something to say about that too, and then I know you have to go.
Barry?
I'm sorry. I lost some of the words you were saying.
Oh.
About forgiveness.
I was just talking about how the forgiveness out in the world, you know, when people are, somebody absconds with the funds at a business deal, or there's a lot of that kind of thing that's been going on, especially right now, or maybe always on our planet. And people get very destroyed over that. And I wonder if you work with people on that level of forgiveness as well.
Well, yes, of course. And we've had to deal with that too. We had a... in our earlier years of running our business, one of our employees stole quite a bit of money.
Oh, my.
Someone that we trusted very, very well. And then we had another situation where someone stole quite a bit of money from us, someone that we knew really well. And we've had to work with forgiveness. We've had to work with seeing these people in a higher way. Because if we thought about it all the time, it would cause, again, such a heaviness.
Or even physical damage in your body, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's just not worth it.
Yeah.
Well, and
I want to add that forgiveness is really important. But there's something even more important in some ways, because in some ways, the forgiveness implies that something was done to you, that you were hurt, and it can put you a little bit more in a victim position. What we teach most of all, especially with couples, is to be more proactive, and instead of looking at how the other person has hurt you, to also look at how you have hurt the other person and to be willing to take responsibility for the hurt you've created and apologize deeply and sincerely. And we find that that's really powerful. We do that in our couples workshops.
Wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for sharing this time with us. Your website is sharedheart.org. Is that right?
Thank you.
And,
thank you so much.
I tell everybody at home there are many, many books worth reading and articles, and check it out and enjoy. Thank you so much, Barry and Joyce Vassell.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night. So that was Barry and Joyce Vassell taking us on a walk through spiritual relationships. Develop a relationship that can last a long time and help both of you grow. For any feedback on this show or any suggestions of guests, or if you'd like a session with me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Remember, check out Barry and Joyce. They've got some great articles on sharedheart.org and some wonderful books. So good night, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, and many blessings.